Bobby Bones post-show pre-show.
I was watching a video from the Las Vegas Review Journal, which is the paper out there. They say Vegas is back, and they got a video inside a casino. The scene overnight as Las Vegas casinos reopened after a 78-day corona closure. Here are the crowds as some casinos opened at midnight. Certain amenities, including buffets and shows, remain closed. But I'm telling you, it is packed in there. And most people not even wearing a mask. And they are going to town. I mean, Ray, there's going to be a lot of folks running around these casinos. You're good with that, huh?
Yeah, me and my batch crew, we're all going to be masked up, 6 feet apart.
That's not going to happen.
Distance.
There won't be the 6 feet apart, by the way. I'm watching this. Nobody's 6 feet apart. It's so packed that it's like trying to walk through a crowd.
Yeah, it looks like we're going to be avoiding those tables then. We'll be on the tables that are on the outskirts of the casino.
I think on Monday's show, Lunchbox is going to try to call. And are you going to try to get free rooms, Lunchbox, by doing what?
I'm going to just call the casino because I figure it's a bachelor party. And Ray, who he is, Cizan Raymundo, it's once-in-a-lifetime bachelor party. And the publicity they'll get from us going to their casino.
Oh, that's so the angle.
Yeah, and I'm going to ask for free rooms and see what they can do for us. And Bobby, did you see the video of the girl? They have dancing girls in Vegas, and she's wearing a welder's mask. It's pretty awkward.
I didn't see that video. I guess I bet some people who are really into that, they'll love it.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Okay, Monday show, Lunchbox will try to use his fame, is that what you call it, to get rooms?
Yeah, fame.
Yeah, okay.
Clout.
Clout, his clout. All right. Let's do Flashback Friday. Here we go.
Flashback Friday.
2004, we're going to flashback 16 years ago. The biggest country song was Redneck Woman by Gretchen Wilson. The biggest pop song is Goodies by Sierra featuring Petey Pablo. And 16 years ago, the biggest thing of pop culture, the first episode of Jeopardy featuring Ken Jennings aired. He won $37,000 that night. And then he won 73 more shows in a row and more than $2.5 million total. And for me, Ken Jennings was the guy that made winning a lot at Jeopardy cool, the first person to get famous from that. There have been a couple others that did it because they played in that Jeopardy Goat Challenge where Ken Jennings ended up winning that as well. But your top earners are James Holzhauer at number 3, Ken Jennings at 2, and Brad Rutter at number 1. So there you go. That's on this day in 2004, Flashback Friday. Close it up.
Flashback Friday.
Hey, I saw they're doing Jack in a can, like Jack Daniel's Seltzer. Raymundo, what do you think about that?
Very interesting. So they're going with a whiskey. I'm a vodka guy. That's why I like the seltzers.
But if this is a seltzer, is it a whiskey seltzer? Like, do you know what that is?
Yeah, but I mean, it's going to be dark. The thing that's appealing about the White Claw is the Trulies, all of them are light colored. I'm not a dark guy when it comes to alcohol. I don't like the rums, the whiskeys, any of those.
When I was walking by your little spot there in the radio studio, you had a bunch of like Bud Light seltzers just sitting right there by your board.
Yeah, I tell you what, the Bud Light seltzers are coming up on the old food chain. They are pretty darn good. Apparently, Steve had some at his crib, but he drank one and didn't like them, so he brought an 11-pack in, and I said thank you, and moved on from there.
Oh, so that's why it was there. Have you taken it home?
Yeah, I took it home. I gave a couple to our security guy. I told Abby she can have one, and then that was it. The rest are in my fridge.
They make 11-packs?
Yeah, Steve drank one.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, Eddie, keep up.
Got it. Okay.
You're bad at math.
Thieves tunnel into a liquor store, steal $18,000 in booze. Three men tunneled their way into a liquor store and made off with thousands of dollars of alcohol. It occurred right as lockdown rules were about to be lifted, allowing the store to get back into business. The trio entered the shop by accessing electrical and stormwater drain tunnels under the store. They then entered the store and cut through the concrete floor. They stole $18,000 worth of liquor, including expensive and imported brands. Security cameras captured the incident and the footage. But I don't know if they know who they are because it was kind of the tunneling. Amy, aren't you into the tunneling because that's what the drug cartels do?
Yeah. El Chapo is the first one, the first person that ever built the tunnel from Mexico to the United States to smuggle drugs.
Ever?
Well, at least here. I don't know if anywhere in the world, but here in America, yeah, fun fact.
Dang, I bet that was crazy. People go, well, wow, we didn't even think of that. And he's like, I told you. And then they were probably running it so long and so freely until they were caught.
Well, yeah, and his the drug lord, or I don't know, person, the cartel that he worked for, he was not a high up person. El Chapo was pretty low, and he had this idea, and he took it to his boss, and the boss wasn't all about it. So he just took the initiative and did it himself, and then went and showed the boss, look what I've been doing. It works. And then he worked his way up.
And there you go. If you're wondering business, look no further than El Chapo. Right. A stadium-sized asteroid to make a relatively close approach toward Earth. I mean, 2020 is really coming up roses, huh?
I know, right? Wow.
Well, they're saying it's 3 million miles away, but apparently that's close. I mean, shouldn't the headline read, asteroid doesn't come anywhere near Earth, but we want another article to make it click? I mean, shouldn't that be the headline? But NASA is keeping tabs on a massive asteroid that's coming closer to Earth every single day. They're watching it. They've compared it to the size of a football stadium. Its closest approach, as of now, will be 3,160,000 miles. You know, what is happening, though, is that hurricane is kind of coming this direction. You know the hurricane's name, anybody?
Do not.
No?
Shoot, I already forgot it.
Yeah, me too, because it's not. Cubalto? Yeah, something like Cubalto? What is it again?
I think it's Cubalto or Cubalto.
Mm. Crystal ball.
Thank you.
Crystal ball, yeah. There it is.
Cubalto.
Yeah, that's a weird name. It's a very unique name.
It's like,
Yeah. Man goes berserk after a drive-thru forgets his mustard on the burger. He flew into a rage at a Wendy's after they forgot to put mustard on his burger that he ordered. Staff members call police after the man exited his car and began striking the plexiglass barrier that separates the restaurant takeout window. He got out of his car, came up to the drive-thru, began yelling, and then starts smashing the glass, ripped it out of the wall. Nobody was injured. They called the cops. I'm not a fit thrower. I definitely wouldn't be a rage haver. Amy, can you think of the last time you threw a fit?
Oh, well, I didn't really throw a fit, but I have had rage.
Well, that's like next level, though. You're like, well, I haven't. You're like, well, I haven't shoplifted, but I murdered four people. I mean, that's what it feels like.
What? No, but I do have this weird rage thing happening with me, and I'm working through it. I thought a lot of it was hormonal, but my therapist says I can't always default to hormones. I think they play a role, but she thinks there's other stuff I'm not working through, and it's manifesting itself as and coming out in rage. Like, you know, I really like throwing things, and I picture myself doing it, and I have to like stop myself. But I, you know, if I'm frustrated with something at the house with the kids or whatever, I mean, sometimes I slam or stuff, which I've told y'all, I've told you about these moments. But lately, since I'm trying to control it, I just picture myself doing it, and it helps me. Like, I wanted to pick up the fruit bowl the other day and just slam it on the wall, and I did not do it. But I pictured myself doing it, and I was like, okay.
Do you think it would have felt good to do it, though?
What was your original question? What?
Do you think it would have felt good to slam the bowl?
Yeah, I know it would have.
But what about all that time you have to spend cleaning it up?
Yeah.
Right, I know. That's what I learned the last time when I slammed the milk.
Like, then I always look at net gain or net loss. Meaning, okay, it'd be fun, but will it be miserable cleaning it up? And what would it be more fun than miserable? If so, I'd probably do it. But would it be more miserable than that little bit of fun? I probably won't do it.
Right. And that's where I think I'm starting to like gain control and know that I can work through it. I feel like sometimes when people have rage and they literally have no control, their brain has just gone to a different part where there's nothing stopping them. And like I fortunately still have that, and I can determine right from wrong, and I can have reason. And so now I reason myself through the rage. But I honestly, I think it's been like a storm of things that just have built up in me, and then that's how they're coming out. So I'm working on it.
Wow.
But I wouldn't say I throw fits. I don't throw tantrums or fits. I just have sudden impulse to destroy something.
Wow.
And I haven't always had that. Like, this is very, like, in the last year.
Mm. And that's scary,
you know?
Hearing.
I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but I'm not in a place where I'm going to harm myself or anybody else. Like, I want to be very clear, but if anybody else is experiencing that, know that you're not alone. And yeah, it's a combination of hormones depending on where you are in your life. And then also if you're not dealing with certain little traumas or things you have in your life and you're getting triggered.
I mean, it sounds like Hulk wants to come out of you.
Yeah. You know, I think years ago you asked us if it would be appealing to go to one of those rage rooms.
Mm-hmm, just break stuff.
And yeah. And I probably my answer back then would have been, no, that sounds, I don't have rage, that I don't need to do that. And now I don't know. I might go. I mean, I'm not going to go, but if you were to ask me, my answer would be, yeah, I would go.
All right. Well, I'm a little scared. Hey, we're going to wrap this.
Sorry.
No, you're good. Thank you guys for hanging out. You'll hear Chris Jansen coming up on the show. Always appreciative. Check out Amy's podcast, Four Things with Amy Brown. I have a new Bobbycast going up today. It'll probably be up right around now. We talked about the music coming out this week. We talked about celebrity homes, how expensive they are. And some of them were they've died. They're now museums, Graceland and Kanye. And there's a lot of crazy houses. And we talked to Jillian Jacqueline. So it's called the Bobbycast. The guys have a podcast called The Sore Losers where they talk about sports and guy stuff. Mike D has a movie Mike's movie podcast. So there's just a lot for you to check out on the Nashville Podcast Network. So check it out. But we appreciate you listening to this over the weekend. You can lay into some of that podcasting. But have a great one and enjoy today's show. Bye, everybody. Hey, what's happening, everybody? Morning, studio.
Morning.
Well, where do I start today? After the show, me, my girlfriend Caitlin, Eddie, his girlfriend.
No, my wife. Oh. Don't do that.
Oh.
It's funny, though.
We're all going fishing after the show, as long as the weather's good. And it's supposed to be good, but we're all going fishing after the show. I'm really looking forward to it. Caitlin asked if your wife was looking forward to it, Eddie.
She is really looking forward to it. She met Caitlin for the first time recently.
Yeah.
When we went and played Home Run Derby. But, I mean, she's like, oh, I really liked her. It's going to be a lot of fun. Let's like catch fish, hang out, a little sun. And she really needs to get outside. So she's looking forward to it, yes.
Okay, so we're going to come back to this fishing story. But first, I'm going to talk about Home Run Derby for 1 second. Amy, we got real bats and balls and gloves. And we go to this small field. It's a baseball field. And it's me, Eddie, our friend Brandon Ray, his brother. We play Home Run Derby. Of all four of us, how many home runs do you think we hit all combined?
One.
Zero. Zero home runs.
Zero.
It's dumb to call it Home Run Derby.
One of you.
Well, because the field's not that little. And then secondly, we're not cranking them out. We're just taking batting practice.
Oh, sorry. I believe that one of you could maybe do it.
Well, we didn't.
Not even close.
No, no one's even close. But we played Home Run Derby. I guess if it's the first time that you had seen Caitlin play a sport.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've sent me a couple of videos of her playing golf.
But I guess you played basketball against her.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. So, no, I'd seen her. Dude, I can tell she's athletic. I mean, anything she does, she's really good at.
Caitlin said that when her and Eddie, because she was guarding Eddie at the YMCA playing basketball, this is a few months ago, that Eddie was really tired. And Eddie was like, don't shoot it. Don't shoot it. And she thought at first he was talking crap. But then she realized he just didn't want her to shoot it because he was tired and didn't have to guard her.
Yeah.
I kept telling her, just pass the ball. Pass the ball, please.
Just pass the ball. Come on, just pass the ball.
We need a rest.
So we're all going fishing today after the show. Here's your fishing story. A Tennessee angler hooks a catfish weighing over 100 pounds on a fishing trip his friend skipped. A Tennessee man recently pulled in a 103-pound catfish on a fishing trip. He was forced to celebrate alone because none of his friends accepted his invitation. David Anderson went fishing late last Saturday, according to a post on the Tennessee Wildlife Resource Agency's Facebook page, and he caught a 103-pound blue catfish. Can you imagine? You would think that was a person. Or you would think you caught a tire or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it just feels so big. Get a lot of questions from you guys. Gonna go over to the phone lines and hear from Emily, who is in Ohio.
Is it weird for someone to be on the phone in a public restroom? I didn't know if I could pee or if that was rude to pee while she was on the phone. Then I didn't know if I could flush without that being rude too. So that's it. Okay, bye.
What do you think about somebody in a public restroom being on the phone?
Okay, so somebody else was on the phone, and then she was like, oh, I don't want to interrupt her call by flushing. Okay.
She's very kind for thinking about that.
Because I want to be like,
you're in a bathroom. Like, you're going to hear things in a bathroom that are going to sound like bathroom.
Yeah.
So would you ever go into public restroom on a call?
Yes.
Okay.
And also, yeah, I'm not as thoughtful as her. I would never think that. So you just got to do your thing.
And I think if you go into a public restroom or any restroom, even the bathroom here at work, and you're on a call, because you do, you'll see people with pants around their ankles and they're like, let me go index three. Let's get 4% on that. And you're like, wow, if they had any idea on this business call that old Herb was chopping a two, that it would be a brutal visual for everyone listening. But you got to know going in, that's probably okay. But number two, if people are making bathroom sounds around you, that's just part of it, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a part of life, man. You got to go, you got to go. And everyone's cool with it.
I do have an email here.
Bobby's Mailbag.
So this listener emailed me worried about the new show that I'm doing. The new TV show that I'm
worried
doing.
Worried about you?
Yes. And so if you missed the announcement maybe a couple weeks ago, I'm doing a new show on Nat Geo that I start filming next month now. So pretty excited about that. 16 episodes. It's called Breaking Bobby Bones. This is the email. Hey, Bobby, I love the show. I love seeing you on TV, but why do you have to torture yourself on television? You practiced nonstop on Dancing with the Stars. Didn't know how to dance. That was uncomfortable for you. Then you ate a rotten sheep eyeball on Running Wild with Bear Grylls. Now you have a new show coming out called Breaking Bobby Bones on National Geographic. We are worried about you. Can you not just do a show where you taste cupcakes or something? From Lisa. I've been going through some of the ideas for the show. So what happens is the showrunner is the person who is like literally running the show, everything on it. They have different producers that are doing, you know, segments for them and their scout locations. And so I've had 8 ideas pitched to me that then go to the network. And I've okayed all the ideas. So then the network says yes or no, and then we go do them. But I start shooting in July. Pretty excited.
Cool.
I wanted each of them to have something fun for me to do too, not just to die, because there'll probably be a chance for that in all of them. But I also wanted to do something pretty cool there, and so I wish I could share some of them with you. If I get permission, I'll share some of the ideas.
Awesome.
Maybe the rejected ideas that we're
okay,
not doing.
Cool.
Ooh, it's like rejected segments.
Yeah, and it's not because I didn't want to do them. When they asked me, hey, what will you do? I said, I'll do anything. I said, the more that I'm worried about something, probably the better and more compelling it'll be for TV. But we're also going to be a really inspiring show, too. We're finding people that have really inspiring stories. It's not just Jackass.
And a chance for you to die.
Yeah. It's not will Bobby die. Place your bet before the show starts. It's going to be what I had said just in an interview once. It'll be like Anthony Bourdain meets Dirty Jobs meets Jackass. And then at the end, you should be very inspired by the person that you just saw. And hopefully by me a little bit, too. So, but I appreciate that email. You can keep sending your emails. Morgan, number two, what's that email address?
Mailbag@bobbybones.com.
And that was Bobby's Mailbag.
Fun Fact Friday. Yay!
All right, the 5 most fun random stories from Amy. Let's go at number 5.
Number 5.
So this one was just odd to me. Almost every cell phone in Japan is waterproof, and it's been that way for a decade. And the reason is women are so obsessed with their phones there that they wouldn't stop taking them in the shower.
Wow, I thought I had a problem.
Right, and well, so now they're waterproof.
2 things come to mind when you tell that story. I did see on a commercial, not sure which phone it is, but they're like, hey, our phone is now waterproof for 2.5 minutes. So now they're specifically saying, like, I think with a new iPhone, you can drop in the water. I'm telling you, mine went in the pool for 8 seconds. It came out, it wasn't the same. So I think it's always going to mess with it a little bit. But this new phone, it could be like a Droid or an Android or something. They're like, with 2.5 minutes of pure waterproof. What happens at 2:31?
You're done. Throw it away.
So that's the first thing. Number 2, we have discussions in my house about how much I'm on the phone. Mostly when I go to bed and I don't get off the phone. I think the most annoying thing that I do is I'm on the phone and the computer at the same time. And Caitlin just cannot understand why I have to have 2 internets going at the same time. Like, I'll be scrolling through Twitter with one, reading emails with the other. And she's like, I think we just got a little too much going on here, huh? So, but it is a problem. And when I lived alone, it wasn't an issue.
Mm-hmm. And now you don't.
But now I don't. That's right.
But you don't take your phone into the shower.
No. And I would be phone obsessed. But no. All right, here we go.
Number 4.
So Gwyneth Paltrow named her company Goop after a branding expert told her that all successful internet companies have double O's in their name. So she put 2 O's between her initials, G&P.
Yahoo, Google.
Wow.
That's all I got.
Facebook.
Facebook.
Oh, good one.
Yeah. I'd heard that before. Yeah. To put the 2 O's. Not about Goop. I didn't understand Gwyneth Paltrow, though.
I know. I've never understood why Goop, and now we know.
So I guess if I were doing it, I'd be Boob. My
there
company
we
would be
go.
Boob. Bobby, ooh, phones. Boob.
Booby.
Just Boob. All right, there you go.
Number 3.
So this is cool. In Finland, the cost of a speeding ticket is determined by your income. And in 2002, a Nokia executive got a ticket for $103,000 for going 45 wow. miles per hour in a 30 zone.
Wow.
I guess he was really rich.
That's a little communist, huh?
Excuse me?
Is that the same? Is that how it works? Like,
no, actually.
A little communist? Yeah. No.
Well, I always thought it was kind of like
keeping it fair.
Yeah, keeping like, okay, based on what you make, this is what we like. What's mine is yours, kind of thing.
Well, you wouldn't have different amounts of money in a communist society. Okay. No one would be that rich.
Yeah.
So
the opposite of that. Good.
Well, I understand what you're saying, where everything's even, but no.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's awesome. All right, there you go.
Number 2.
So why does the Canadian tuxedo exist?
Well, that's denim on denim.
Yeah. Do you know where it came from?
Why do we call it the Canadian tuxedo? It's got to be somebody Canadian.
Brian Adams?
Paul Schaefer? Who?
Okay, so in 1951, Bing Crosby wasn't allowed in a hotel in Canada because he wasn't wearing a double denim look. So Levi's made him a denim tuxedo as a publicity stunt, and it later was dubbed the Canadian tuxedo.
Just denim on denim.
That's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had a song that I wrote a long time ago called Denim on Denim. We never cut. It's a Raging Idiot song. Maybe I should look back at that.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Yeah. Do you really want to hear it?
No, I really do.
Okay, cool. I'll get it to you. All right. One more.
Number 1.
So when a Google employee dies, their spouse receives half pay from the company for 10 years, and their kids get $1,000 a month until they turn 19.
You sound excited about that.
Well, that's pretty amazing. I know it's unfortunate that somebody died, yeah. But to look out for their family like that, to know if you work at Google and something were to happen to you, your family is like cared about. That's cool.
That part is cool. Yeah, you just seemed a little too upbeat about that old dying part.
Yeah, well, I didn't know. Do we have anything like that in place?
I don't own the company.
No.
You guys seem to think I own the company.
If the Bobby Bone Show dies.
I don't own the company.
Okay.
I don't pay you.
All right.
What do you think happens here? Do you think I go home and give you all checks from my checkbook?
No, of course not.
I don't pay you.
I was joking anyways.
Thank you.
I don't expect that, but that's pretty amazing of Google.
With two O's.
Yahoo.
Google.
There you go.
I'm
Fun Fact Friday.
You're what, done?
I'm Amy, and those are my 5 fun facts.
All right, thank you very much.
Bobby Bone Show.
The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number 2's 30 Second Skinny.
Carrie Underwood is dropping a Christmas album. She shared during her virtual fan club that she's been working on it since she wrapped her tour last year. It will be out before the holiday season later this year. Kane Brown shared a new song called Worldwide Beautiful.
We ain't that different from each other. From one to another, I look around and see worldwide beautiful.
Kenny Chesney loves to eat fried food when he isn't touring.
When I'm touring on the road, I eat really clean. I'm very healthy. And when the tour is over, I'm really tired of salmon and chicken. So I eat just anything fattening. I love it. I grew up in the South on, fried stuff. So I love to eat fried stuff.
I'm Morgan number 2. That's your skinny.
Come on. It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
37 years ago, Miss Taylor was 4 years old and she lived in an apartment in New York City on the 6th floor. The building catches on fire and ladder 20 of the FDNY come and they rescue her. Well, she's a nurse now in Virginia and she volunteered to go to New York to fight Corona. And she's on one of her shifts and she's talking to one of the firefighters. She's like, yeah, ladder 20, I always wanted to reunite with that firefighter. So that guy calls Ladder 20, the captain, says, hey, do you know Eugene that used to work there at Ladder 20? Goes, yeah, I got his number right here. Reconnected the nurse and the firefighter that saved her 37 years later.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. Also love the liberties Lunchbox takes with those stories, like he knows the conversation. Yeah, I got her number right here. Yeah.
He was there.
Yeah. Hey, Eugene, I talked to him months. I got him. That's an awesome story. I saw that too. There you go. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Las Vegas, Nevada. A couple was arrested after stealing $13 million from the healthcare system, and they would brag on Instagram about all this money they're making. Aston Martin, private jet they bought for $900,000, jewelry, They were committing fraud the whole time and flaunting it, and Instagram is what put police onto them.
Just, if I were stealing $13 million, you wouldn't hear a peep from me about the money I was making.
Not these guys.
The fact that we're smart enough to get $13 million without people noticing, but dumb enough to post it on social media.
One of his quotes on Instagram was, "I'm not doing a business, it's new. I'm doing a new way of doing business."
And Instagram got him. All right.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your bonehead story of the day.
The Friday Morning Conversation with
Chris Jansen.
Chris, what's up, dude?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, we both have on Bass Pro hats. We didn't even orchestrate this.
No, we did not.
I saw on your Instagram that I think your son caught a gar with his hand. Is that true?
Dude, so he fishes every day out here off the beach. And I'm looking out there at him right now as I speak. And so he goes out on a paddleboard the other day. He's 6 years old, which is crazy as it is. He goes out in a surf. He says, "Hey, I'm going to catch a fish with my hands." And he dove into the water and comes out two-handed with a fish right over his head. And it looked like a freshwater gar. I've never seen one in the saltwater. But, yeah, man, he popped right out of the water holding a fish. So it was an incredible moment. I've never done that.
That's funny. Our guy Chris Jansen is on with us right now. Yeah, I also saw you on Instagram on a boat with a big old fish. I don't even know where you are because I saw you last weekend. We were together at the Grand Ole Opry, but now yep. You're back on the beach. Where are you right now?
So I'm at my home in Florida. I'm in northwest Florida up in the Panhandle. And we're just enjoying it, man. We fish a lot down here. By the way, it was great to see you at the Opry, and I appreciate all the kind words. And I had such a really good time doing that, and I thought it was a great lineup, and everything just was just awesome. But we're here, and we've been here since before the quarantine started, and, you know, we're just basically home basing here, and since we're off the road a little bit, it's been pretty nice. I mean, we've just been spend a lot of quality family time together. So I just got done cooking a little bit ago, and
nice.
Kids are playing, and we're just, you know, I've been painting and just doing normal everyday stuff.
What is your go-to if you're going to cook? What's the thing I would be like, all right, Chris, you get to pick one thing to make me. What's it going to be?
You know what? I like to grill a lot. So I would probably do some, if you like chicken, I would do some chicken breast cutlets. I like to blacken stuff. So that, and if I'm going to cook fish, like the fish you saw, the big fish that you saw in the picture on the boat, a lot of times I'll take like some Cajun batter, but I don't do it in a deep fryer. I just do it with olive oil on the skillet. So I enjoy cooking. I mean, most people don't know that I cook, but I enjoy it. I cook a lot.
Yeah, Chris Jansen's on with us right now. You know, and I watched you play the Opry, and you played to a room where there was nobody but basically me sitting in the crowd. And I got a couple questions about the Grand Ole Opry. One, you've played it over 200 times. Now,
yes,
I've played it 18. And for me, I'm like, holy crap, I can't believe I got to play it 18 times. And they gave me, after I think 10, they gave me a cup. You've played it over 200. Do they give you anything at 100 or 200? What's the Opry rules there?
That's actually a great question. I never got a cup, surprisingly. So when the Opry sees this, I will be looking for that coffee mug or cup. No, I'm kidding. But seriously, when I got my first award from the Opry. Whenever Buy Me a Boat hit number one, they gave me a custom plaque, which was like a hat show print plaque, which is awesome, and you know, it's one of a kind. So that's cool. And then when I was fortunate enough to become a member of the Opry. You know, I got a trophy and the whole deal that goes along with that. I have the Opry membership. I have an Opry guitar, like it's the signified one through Martin. And then, but I don't have a cup, and I don't have any special certifications for like 100 times. You know, of course, I got some slap hands and high fives and pats on the back. But you're lucky to get the cup. That is cool.
Chris Jansen is on with us, and you're a thin guy, but. What I hear is that you're working out for the first time ever in your whole life. Is that true? First of all, you've never worked out ever, and then what kind of prompted you to start now?
Okay, so I'm a thin guy, and no, I've never worked out. But, okay, so I am a huge ASMR nerd. I was like an ASMR and chiropractic and like shamanic healing sessions on YouTube. And it's like stuff that people like laugh in the comment sections on. I watched that stuff. I've been watching it before it was like popular though and kind of a trendy thing. And so I found this chiropractor that I really loved on YouTube. His name's Dr. Jason. He's in Los Angeles. And when I was playing out there, we had this show at the Novo about a year ago now. And on the way out to California, I popped a rib out of place on my chest in turbulence on the airplane. And so when I got there, I needed to see somebody to try to help me. So he turns out he's a fan of the music and loved particularly Buy Me a Boat and Drunk Girl. And so he came out to the show, set up a table, did the deal, and he's been one of my guys now. You know, he's turned out to be a really good friend and a great healer. But long story short, he does like these exercise videos and all kinds of strengthening videos, and he has these floor slide things that you put your hands down like on all fours, you put your feet on the slides, and so he sent me some, and I tried it, and dude, honestly, I almost got sick to my stomach because I've never done it before. I never worked out before once ever, and so once I did, it was just crazy. But I've been doing it off and on a little bit, and it's pretty fun. I mean, you know, something to pass the time, and I figure, like, you know, you can always learn something new, so I'm learning something new.
So you're not, like, maxing bench press or doing heavy squats. You're doing...
I can't even lift the bar, I don't think.
Well, I tell you, you look tan, man. You are tan as crap out there on the beach, man.
Thank you, man. Yeah, it's just, you know what, that's one thing that I feel like God blessed me with is I tan easily and I don't burn that bad. So, you know, and it's so funny, like all four of our kids are so different too. And, you know, like two of them tan and then two of them don't. And, you know, so it's a catch 22. And, but anyway, I enjoy being outside. I enjoy the outdoors and it's been a really great time to be honest with you, man, just bonding with my kids and kind of just rekindling so many things that, when you're busy, it's a blessing and a luxury. But when you're not as busy, it's like we'll never get these times and moments back. And so we're really trying to enjoy those moments and take them for what they are. And we're having a great time doing it.
All right. Chris Jansen is on with us. And speaking outside, and I'll get to this in a second, but Chris is from a small town in Missouri. I'm from a small town in Arkansas. We have the same birthday. We have very similar sensibilities. We both love Bass Pro Shop. And what we were talking about at the Opry was we should do an outdoors contest against each other, with us not winning. Like, we'll do it, and the prize will be for somebody else.
Yes.
But we'll match your skills versus mine to get a grand champion. Now, we're not actually going to announce the contest right now, but I'm just putting it out there that we will be competing in an outdoors championship, Chris Jansen and myself, sponsored by Bass Pro Shops, that I am for sure to win. How would you feel about that?
What did you say? You said, I'm the most outdoorsy one. That's so awesome, dude. Hey, by the way, all jokes aside, I saw is that a striper that you caught?
Yeah. We were on, and we're going today too. We're out on Percy Priest today. Go striper fishing again.
That's a sick striper, dude. Like, that's a huge fish. Is that your first one?
Ever?
Yeah, no, striper. Yeah, is that your first striper?
Ever? No.
I've never caught one.
See, Bobby won, Chris zero. It's like my, I don't know, 1,000th?
I figured it was.
Lake Washington, Arkansas, that's what we do. My stepdad was a big, and still is a big striper fisherman. So,
dude, I've never caught. I actually want to go with you now because I'm dead serious. I've wanted to catch one of those my whole fishing career, if you will. But we were out the other day offshore here in Florida, and I don't know if those pictures were online or not, but if they're not, I'll send you one. Either way, we went out with my captain out of Destin, Florida. Awesome trip. We went like 40 miles out, longest trip I've ever been on in a boat, and it was super rough. But when we got out there, it was really calm. We started dropping down, man, and we were fishing off some old wreckages and stuff, and we were catching 60-pound amberjack. It was unbelievable.
Wow. It'll be an interesting competition, Chris Jansen versus me. Man, much success. Can't wait to see you again when times are a little more normal. It was good to see you last week, and I'll talk to you soon.
Man, thanks for everything, Bobby. I appreciate it, man.
All right, there he is, Chris Jansen. See you, bud.
See you, buddy.
Coming from the Bass Pro Shops and Cabela Studio on Music Row, the Bobby Bone Show.
We get a lot of calls from you guys, and we appreciate that so much. 877-77-BOBBY.
Morning, studio. I have a new tagline for you guys. The Bobby Bone Show, keeping the art of the voicemail alive since 2020.
That's right.
Love you guys.
Yeah, you can call us. Leave a voicemail. Same number, 877-77-BOBBY. I recently re-added my voicemail to my phone. Because forever I turned it off. I don't want to hear a voicemail to send me a text. But I've now added it again because when someone leaves you a voicemail, it writes out the whole voicemail so you don't have to listen to it. Is that new or is it just new because I haven't had a voicemail in a while?
I don't know. I don't do anything with voicemail.
You don't? Not on your cell phone at all?
It's been there a while.
My voicemail's full.
Yeah, well, mine was too until like a week ago. And I was like, you know, I need to be mature about this and give people a spot to leave their voicemail.
Good for you. Yeah. I don't. I don't even know how to check a voicemail.
Here's Madison from Jackson, Wyoming.
Hi, Bobby. Morning, studio. I just want to say that I love you all so much. I love the podcast. It just brightens my work day because I only have about a 5-minute commute to work, which is amazing. So I just listen to it while I'm at work. But I just wanted to laugh a little bit about staying on hold. I was on hold with Verizon the other day for 5 hours. And then the lady picked up the phone, said hello, and hung up. And I seriously wanted to cry, but I just wanted to laugh at the fact that Amy only said 45 minutes. I just feel like I was a trooper for that. But thanks for all that you do and bringing all the love when you can, always.
Hey, thank you, Madison. Yeah, that's a long time. And that would be so frustrating because I'm sure that was all just a misunderstanding anyway. Like something had to happen wrong that she had to wait 5 hours. And then you know that person didn't pick up that call just to hang up. Yeah, anyway, shout out Verizon. I have Verizon. I don't want to cut my cell service because they heard me say anything. The Bobby
Bones Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So, Bobby, do you take Stanley on walks?
No, I don't. No, no. He doesn't like walks. We've taken him out a couple times, but he will walk a little bit. And because he's a big old fat English bulldog, he'll just go, I'm over it, and plop down in the middle of the road and just lay there. So what we do, we could take him to places where there is a fence, mostly the backyard, sometimes a dog park. And just go have at it. And we'll run around a little bit, but not on walks with a leash for the most part.
Is that fence time the highlight of your day?
No.
Oh. Well, 77% of dog owners say that walking their dog has been the highlight of their day, especially during quarantine. And I got to say, coronavirus or not, walking my dog is a lot of times the highlight of my day. I love it.
There were memes where during quarantine, they would have people sitting with their dog at the window and someone would walk by and the person would go, well, now I see why you do this. It's so boring. You freak out when someone walks by. Yeah.
Some people are admitting to even like sharing lunchtime with their dogs during this because they just feel so lonely and they set up their food while their dog has their food and they eat together.
Yeah, I just have a different kind of dog. He just doesn't give a crap about anything. We're trying. We're getting there.
Okay, so Cinemark won't require moviegoers to wear masks when their theaters reopen. So some people were shocked by that because that's just a place where you're in a room with like tons of different people for 2 hours or so. Employees will wear masks, but not guests. To be clear, the CDC still says it's wise to wear a mask when in public, but not if you're going to the movies.
Well, as long as you don't sit near anyone.
I know. I would assume when they do reopen that it won't be full capacity and they'll have to.
I'm not going to get upset about people and their personal responsibility. I think if you want to wear a mask, you wear a mask. If you don't, that's on you. So I'm okay with it. I always see people with masks, though, and I'm grateful to them because they're caring about other people, if that makes sense. You don't wear a mask for yourself for the most part. You wear a mask for other people.
You know what has thrown me off when I'm driving and I look over and I see someone else driving?
Yeah, with a mask
on. And they have a mask on.
Yeah.
And they're alone in their car. And I don't know why and I don't want to be rude, but do they not? I don't know.
I just think they're probably not educated as to why people wear masks.
Yeah.
You know, if you're by yourself, breathe. Yeah. I get it. What else?
Well, shout out to Lego. They have pledged to donate $4 million to organizations supporting Black children. So they're just putting it out there that they're going to go above and beyond to make a difference. And I think that that's amazing, especially a company that works with a lot of kids. Being the mom of 2 Black kids, I know a lot of times toys and stuff that's offered out there doesn't cater to Black kids. So I love that Lego is doing this.
What about representation with like Disney cartoons? How do you feel about that? What should they do, but how do you feel about it personally? Do you feel like there's enough?
I don't know that there's enough. No, there's not enough. But it has that part. There's people that have been, you know, already thinking of this and already been doing it. But I guess I'm going to start paying attention more to what I know that content is out there. But as a mom, I want to pay more attention to what I'm letting my kids consume or what I offer them, because I could be more intentional of making sure we have a variety of races on our TV. And I think no matter what your race is, you could do that with your kids or what race your kids are. So it's on us as parents. But when companies make it easier for us, that's great.
Sure. All right, there you go.
I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories. It's time for the good news
with Amy.
Tell me something good.
So Vincent Simone, a 99-year-old who got coronavirus, World War II vet, by the way, recovered fully just in time to make it to his granddaughter's wedding. And it was a very small ceremony given coronavirus. There was only about 10 people witnessing it all go down. And he was able to show up and surprise her.
What was his name?
Vincent Simone.
I like how you say it.
Also, that someone 99 survived, aside from the wedding. Yeah. There's like two big deals inside of that. Wow. I bet she was super happy to have him. Granddaughter or grandson?
Granddaughter. Amy Zimmerman, shout out.
Dang. All right, there you go. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Over to Amy now with the Morning Corny.
The Morning Corny.
How did the telephone propose to his girlfriend?
How the telephone proposed to his girlfriend?
He gave her a ring.
Oh. Nice.
That was the Morning Corny.
There you go. Amy, what's up with your dad?
Well, I told y'all that one of the caregivers on his floor tested positive for coronavirus, which he still doesn't know this, by the way. And
are they keeping everyone in their rooms at the assisted living center?
They pretty much are. I don't know what it's going to look like. Every Saturday we make an appointment. They have to schedule an appointment because they don't want people piling on top of each other. They want to have enough time in between each resident and then people on the outside. And he comes down to this little window and sits in a chair. And then we sit on the outside and we get to talk to him. And we've been doing 10 a.m. every Saturday, which has been great. But that's the only time he leaves his room. And then, unless he schedules a walk. But it can't even be with me. It has to be with someone that works there. But a caregiver on his floor did test positive for coronavirus, and they called us to tell us, and they said they would just be monitoring symptoms. But then I just got an email that they will be doing tests, and if we want him to have one, I had to sign this paperwork. So I signed it. So he's going to get tested on, they said it'll get administered Monday or Tuesday.
They go on the nose for him?
I assume so. I don't know any other way. I was like, oh, that's really going to bother him a lot.
But he doesn't know yet.
He doesn't know. I think he'll just think he's getting tested.
Why won't they tell them though?
I don't want to tell him. It's too much anxiety. When this first happened and he pulled his feeding tube out and he had to go to the hospital and he was so terrified that he was going to catch it. And then the anxiety he had mentally, especially with elderly people and when people have other health issues, it's such a concern and we need to keep him in a positive frame, like mind frame. So I'm not telling him.
Because I don't need him. Will you tell him if he has it?
Well, yeah. Yes, if he tests positive.
You have to, right?
I mean, yeah. I don't even want to. My mind is not even going there. He's negative. He's going to test negative. We're just doing what we need to do to make sure. But yeah, I mean, my stomach dropped when we got the phone call, but I'm still remaining positive. Because yeah, I don't know what, I mean, I don't really want to think about it.
What we're going to do in a second is, the question is, what's something most people that your age have done that you haven't done? Think about that for a second.
Oh, okay. I got one.
Like some of the ones gone to another country. Vaped. I never vaped.
I've never vaped either.
Yeah. Question is, what's something most people your age have done that you haven't done? I'll go first. I haven't ever smoked or drank alcohol. I think most people at least had a beer.
The big one.
I've never smoked anything.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go... Haven't smoked or drank anything ever. I'm pretty straight edge. I live straight edge life.
That's me. Amy, you?
Mine was that I've never been pregnant.
That's okay.
That's a good one, Amy.
Yeah, like
39 years old?
Yeah, most people I know have carried a baby at this age, and I don't have idea what that feels like.
Me either.
I know. I mean, mine speaks to women, obviously, but...
Eddie? I'm going to go with skydiving. I feel like a lot of people have been skydiving.
Answer. I'm not here to jump on you. That's a terrible answer. But that's a terrible answer.
Why?
Well, that's not no, many that's people not go true. To
skydiving. How many of you guys have gone skydiving?
We're not a good example. Most people have not gone skydiving.
But in this room we have.
No, but the question is most people.
If you're
people
taking a survey of this room compared to the world, guys, you all have gone skydiving.
Hey, Morgan, you ever been skydiving?
I haven't.
Raymundo, ever been skydiving?
Not even thought about
Scuba
it.
Scuba Steve, ever been skydiving?
No
Mike.
Way.
Wow.
No.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Eddie, hey. Come up with something new.
Eddie, something that most people have done.
Oh, gosh.
For example, if I said, hey, I've never had alcohol. Who all here's had alcohol?
Me!
Right. You want a minute?
Yeah, give me a minute.
Okay.
Okay, I got one.
Go ahead.
Oh, here we go.
I may have said this before. I've never broken a bone.
Okay, it's pretty good.
Oh, yeah,
never broken a bone.
Okay.
Me neither, though.
I have. But I think that's better.
Okay,
that's
okay.
A lot better.
Thank you.
Okay.
I was like, one time we did this, and I was like, I've never done cocaine.
And we're all like, neither have we.
I thought about that.
Nobody else has either.
I haven't even seen it.
And we're like, I never murdered anybody. Never been in jail.
I haven't either.
I know. Okay.
Lunchbox?
I have never tasted coffee in my life. Never sipped it. I've smelt it, but that's it. Never touched my lips.
Wow, that's crazy.
I mean, until a year and a half, Eddie, I hadn't either.
Wow, that's crazy because people drink coffee every day, every morning.
I still don't like it. I mean, I got sucked into it at Dancing with the Stars because it was just the only thing to drink, and I was exhausted all the time. But yeah, it's really rare. It's something else you haven't ate, right? Is there another
cucumber?
That's the one. He's never had a
but
cucumber.
But he's eating pickles.
But it's not. It's totally different.
It's a pickled cucumber.
It is a cucumber.
Pickled.
No. Guys, when you go to the store, you don't go and buy a cucumber.
But
buy
if
a
you
pickle.
Were to buy the cucumber and put it in a jar and
same
pickle
thing,
it,
buddy.
It would be.
Hey, is a hot dog a sandwich?
Right.
No.
That's basically what we're talking about.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
A little different.
So Lunchbox has never tasted coffee or
cucumbers.
Cucumber, right. Hey, Morgan, number two, what about you? You're a little younger than us.
Well, mine would be I've never had a steak.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay. Oh, wow.
You ate meat at what age?
Up until I was 8, but I only had like a hamburger or something like that. Never tried a steak.
Would you eat a steak?
No.
For any amount of money?
Oh, I like this game.
I might try it.
Like a bite of steak?
For like $200.
What, that's it?
Never do that. Never go, that's it. I always go, ooh, that's a lot. Oh. What about 100? And then you work it back.
My fault.
You know? Raymundo, audio producer?
Bought a house. I've been always renting. It's kind of my style. I'm a big rent guy.
He's proud of that. Raymundo, the rent guy. Yeah, that's good, though. But I think, and how old are you?
34.
Okay.
But after the wedding, honestly, we're going to get a plot of land and then build the old house.
Right, there you go. And we'll put it up on Facebook. You guys can write on there something that most people your age have. There's not a wrong answer except skydive.
That was as close as you can get to a wrong answer right there.
All right. Thank you, guys. All right. Going over to Morgan number two, our head of digital. She loves food. So much so that she created a segment about it.
It's time for Food World Num 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 with Morgan number two.
Cracker Barrel is testing beer and wine at some of its stores. And yes, mimosas are being offered. And they're coming in two flavors, orange and strawberry. And I cannot tell you how excited I am about this.
Now, I don't know what a mimosa tastes like, but I would hope that if Cracker Barrel were going to create a signature drink, that it would be like a chicken fried steak mimosa with like a big steak coming out. You know how they have those drinks with the all the olives coming out? And like, why could they not put a big old piece of chicken fried chicken in that thing?
Well, those are Bloody Marys, and they totally could.
Oh.
If these go well, that could definitely be a thing that comes.
Got my drinks mixed up. All right.
Well, you don't drink. It's okay.
Aren't they both red?
Mimosas are champagne mixed with orange juice, typically.
Oh, then what has V8
always.
In it?
What?
What has tomato juice in it?
Bloody Mary.
Oh.
Which is like vodka or other liquors.
I'm completely lost. Okay, but we have found out Cracker Barrel is testing beer and mimosas. All right, thank you, Morgan, number two.
Yep.
That was Food World with Morgan, number two. Num, num, num.
A couple days ago, Raymundo told us about his wedding. It's coming up. It's in October. And his mom said, hey, let's do our first dance to this song. And what was the song that she wanted, Raymundo?
It's The Blessing by Carrie Joby. Here's a little clip of it. And there's background singers, there's another dude. It's kind of just a church hymn type song.
But you weren't into this for your mom and you's dance.
I just thought it was going to be kind of awkward, honestly. It's really you're praising God and Jesus, and then it's just me and my mom there dancing to it. It just doesn't fit really at a wedding.
Okay, so where are we now in this?
So I've told her, hey, she's coming down in a week, I believe it is now, and I said I'm going to put a playlist together, a little mixtape. We're going to dance to 5 songs, and then whichever one we feel is the best, the one we're going to go with.
So you and your mom are going to do a practice dance to all 5 of these songs?
Heck yeah. If we can make it through the song, nobody's crying, we ended up feeling like we were kind of in rhythm, then that's the song we're going to go with.
Okay. Let's hear the first song that you're going to dance with your mom to this weekend.
All right, this is Don't Blink, Kenny Chesney.
Don't blink, just like that, you're 6 years old and you take a nap. And
okay, okay.
Wake up and you're 25.
The positives of this song are it's not so slow that it feels romantic, right?
Mm-hmm. It's upbeat. Oh, yeah. That's what I like.
But still slow enough to not be dancing to the Six Flags song. Dun, 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 you know, there's that. And then the message of it, right? Don't blink because you're going to miss a lot. Like, that's positive to me. And what do you think about Kenny Chesney, Don't Blink?
I'm feeling it, but I don't know that it's going to be my pick. Even though I've had the other ones. Okay. I don't know that I'm voting for that one.
Well, I don't either. I'm just giving the positives here that because super slow ones for mom, son, or daddy, daughter get a little weird. But okay, here's the second one. Meanwhile, back at Mama's from Tim and Faith.
Because meanwhile, back at Mama's, the porch light's on. Come on in if you wanna. Supper's on the stove.
Amy, you're bobbing your head. You like that one?
I just think it's super cute.
Boy.
I'm picturing Ray dancing with his mom. I like the vibe of this one better than the Kenny one.
Raymundo, how do you feel about this one?
It's pretty much my mom. She always had supper ready for us and the porch light was on. So there's the lyrics. That's us.
All right. I don't like that one as much, though. Okay. Let's hear the next one.
Oh, okay.
I would say this on the internet is the most popular one. So I thought, why not put it in? See if it really is popular with us as well. It's I Hope You Dance, Leanne Womack.
I hope you dance.
You know, the thing is, all these songs are so good as songs, right? It's like yes. Looking at a bunch of supermodels and picking out which one you like the best. They're all fantastic. Or it's like going to Cheesecake Factory and looking in to decide which one you're going to have. I mean, there aren't any wrong choices. I like I Hope You Dance because it's definitely not, it's a slow song that's not romantic. It talks about life. Amy, you?
I like Meanwhile Back at Mama's.
Okay.
That's my vote.
Well, you don't know the other ones yet.
Oh, there's more?
There's two more.
Okay. All right,
here's Boys to Men, A Song for Mama.
You will always be the girl in my life for all time. Mama.
Why are you guys laughing at that one?
It's just funny him dancing with you. Mama.
All right, play one more. This is Garth Brooks' Mom.
Yeah, and this is almost like an album type song that really, so it's kind of a tad rough, but you still get the picture.
Hush now, babe, don't you cry. There's someone down their way who's only gold in life.
Ray, can I ask you a question?
Sure, yeah.
Will Garth be at your wedding?
Honestly, I didn't think it was going to happen because of touring and stuff like that, but coronavirus has made most tours push to next year, so his schedule is pretty wide open, and he's a very good friend of my fiance's family, so I would say yes, 50% shot he's going
to
be there.
Is it weird to have Garth there at the wedding and you're playing a Garth song, or is that awesome?
Good point.
Let's be real. With the DJ, I'm imagining he's going to throw in a lot of Garth songs.
True. Okay. I'm torn between Don't Blink and Mom by Garth if Garth's there. Because that would be... How baller would it be to dance to a Garth song as one of your songs and Garth is looking on and then Garth goes, you know what? And he walks up, grabs the mic and sings along with it.
Yeah!
Oh, that's pretty cool. Amy, what do you think?
I still am sticking to my original one, which was Meanwhile Back at Mama's.
Eddie, what do you think about this?
Hey, you know what? We may be overplanning a little bit, but I've got the picture now with Garth just watching it down, going like this. And you're right, Bones. He grabs that mic from the DJ and starts singing right next to them.
Yeah.
Come on.
And but what he does, he's watching, but then he takes his cowboy hat off and puts it over his heart while they're dancing. And then he's so moved that he walks over and grabs the mic and sings it, and he's singing with the song, the track. And then he tells the DJ, he looks at the DJ with a little nod, and the DJ pulls the track all the way down, and it's just Garth singing a cappella as Ray and his mom are dancing. Oh, and then all of a sudden he's like, let's do it. And he goes, I got friends. And then the whole crowd gets up. I'm seeing it now. Yeah. I bet you Garth's at Ray's wedding.
I don't know. He's a busy guy, honestly, but it is on his property. I mean, we're pretty much crashing his entire yard.
Amy, they're getting married on Garth's property, a Garth song. Ray wanted bolo ties for all of us.
Wow.
It wasn't allowed, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, Ray, let us know. You and your mom are going to dance to them this weekend?
It's a couple weeks out. Okay. So once we do that, yeah, I'll let everybody know.
All right, there you go. That's good. I like that.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
A barbershop in Columbus, Ohio, at Ooze and Oz Hair Design, had just opened its doors after being closed for 2 months because of Corona. Byron Woods, the owner, opened a hand-addressed envelope, and inside was a $1,200 check made out to him from a retired school teacher. She was giving Woods the stimulus money she received from the government. Woods cried when he read the woman's letter. It said, "Dear Mr. Woods, today is a happy day for me. It's a day I've been waiting for. Ever since I received my stimulus check, I wanted to give the money to someone who needed it more than me, someone who would use it wisely, someone who was worthy of some help. I am so impressed and thankful for your giving nature, for all you do to others, and for making me happy." That's the end of the letter. In addition to the teacher, several others made unsolicited donations, and he got a bunch of checks, and you know, he's given so much, and he's like, "Man, I can't believe it. People looked out for me, too." So I thought the story was great. A bunch of people coming together and helping the guy in the neighborhood. There you go. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
There was a story about Alicia Silverstone and that she takes baths with her 9-year-old son. And they've been doing this during quarantine. Now, I don't have any kids, but it just seems like when I was 9, I knew a little too much about what was going on. So it seemed a little weird to me. So I wanted to bring this to some of the parents here on the show. Amy, Alicia Silverstone, her 9-year-old son. What do you think about that?
My son is 9 exactly, and I can't imagine taking a bath with him, like, at all. So I think it's too old, but that's just, I don't want to judge her for that. 9 comes in different sizes and emotionally. Like, even with my son, though, because he's adopted and came here later in life and was raised in an orphanage for the first 7 years, emotionally, he's a 5-year-old. So even knowing that about him, I still don't let him see certain things or bathe with me or do anything like that.
Eddie, how old are your kids?
I have a 12-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a baby.
Okay, what do you think about your wife and your son at 9?
No, I'm just going to go out and say it. No. And even the 12-year-old, for sure, 100%, get out of here. You're not going to see that. And even the little guys, 5 and 6, it's just too weird. I mean, we don't want that. And I feel like if they did see anything like that, they would just make fun of it and be like, "Oh, that's so funny."
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
So no, we're not doing any of that.
I'm not saying that she's right or wrong, because I think parents parent in their own ways. But I'm just asking how you felt about that as parents. And for me, as not a parent yet, I would just say, man, that seems a bit old. But you two both kind of echo my sentiment, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And 9 years old, if you're in school too, that is third grade, pfft, are you kidding? You go back to class at third grade, your kids find out you take a shower with your mom? I was reading a story about Tom Cruise as well, and he wants to get back to making Mission Impossible 7, so they're going to quarantine for 2 weeks on a deserted Air Force base in England. He built an entire village so some of the world's biggest stars can isolate together to make sure they're all COVID-free. These Mission Impossibles, though, as a side note, are pound for pound, maybe the greatest series of movies ever. Like, what over that has over 4? What's better than Mission Impossible that has over 4 movies? Mike, you're the movie expert. I mean, Fast and Furious would be up there.
Star Wars.
Rocky. But pound for pound, these Mission Impossibles, they're all good. Have you ever seen a bad Mission Impossible?
The second one wasn't as great.
Yeah, I don't even remember. I don't know. I just asked you. I remember watching, I had never seen any of them until about 5 years ago, and I watched from the first one on, and it felt like it was in the Stone Age, but it was really like 1995. They were doing all their crazy inventions, and this guy's like, "Yeah, get your phone out and push the screen and talk to somebody." And they were all like, "That's crazy." But yeah, they're all going. But basketball is doing that too. Amy, did you see that? The NBA?
No. What are they doing?
They're going to Orlando, and they're all going to isolate and play the season. They're going to play 8 games in season, and then they're going to seed and play the playoffs. And when you are eliminated, you go home.
Oh, perfect.
Will your husband care? I know he wasn't a big NBA fan, but since sports have been gone, will he care?
Oh, yeah. Yes, he will care. I bet you he'll care more about basketball than he ever has.
Yeah. The easiest trivia game in all the land. It's time to play easy trivia. Amy, Lunchbox, video producer Eddie.
Come on.
Morgan, number two, our head of digital. Ugh. These questions are so easy, you shouldn't miss them. But it gets a little harder with pressure. Are you ready to go?
Ready. Ready.
Get it right, stay in the game. Get it wrong, you go home. Amy, what city, the first question in easy trivia.
Oh, I hate geography.
What city would you find the Eiffel Tower?
Oh, Paris.
Paris is correct. Hey, Lunchbox, who invented the light bulb?
That's my boy, Thomas Edison.
Correct. Eddie, what's the name of Mickey Mouse's dog?
Pluto.
Correct.
Oh.
Ooh.
I don't think I would have gotten that.
Really?
That was a tough one.
I don't know.
Hey, Morgan, number two. Who was the first American Idol winner? The first winner of American Idol.
Was she born?
Easy trivia. Yeah.
I was in like middle school when this happened, so.
But it's known. It's so easy.
But there's been so many.
But number one.
I know, but she was young, guys.
Who was the first?
I have too many in my head. Hold on. Kelly Clarkson, Carrie Underwood, Scotty.
First season. You need 3 seconds. Three, two.
Carrie Underwood.
No, it's Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, my gosh. You had it, and then you talked yourself out of it.
Almost nobody loses in the first round. Man. And there she goes. Yep. All right, easy trivia. Round number two just gets a little less easy. Amy, what's the name of Peter Pan's pirate enemy? In what? Peter Pan, what's the name of his pirate enemy?
What? Okay, it's not Captain Jack Sparrow, is it? Peter Pan, Captain Crook. Captain Hook.
Captain Hook. I'll give it to you.
Wow.
Captain Crook.
Wow.
I don't know.
Captain Crook.
I think that was a mixture of Captain Crunch and Captain Hook.
Captain Hook.
Yeah. Lunchbox, what is the last name of the family on the TV show Full House?
Oh, that's the... They're the Tanners. Tanners.
The
DJ
Tanners.
Tanner.
He says the Tanners. That's correct. Eddie, how many inches are in a foot?
12.
Correct. Round number three. Little less Come on. Easy. Come on. Amy, what type of animal is Patrick in SpongeBob?
Patrick the starfish.
Correct.
Wow, Amy.
Lunchbox, who were the first people to fly an airplane?
Oh, man, I almost... That's not right. The Wright brothers.
Correct.
Yeah.
Eddie, what's the name of the imaginary line around the middle of the world that's halfway between the North Pole and South Pole?
Oh, that's the equator.
Correct. If you're just turning us on, it's easy trivia. They shouldn't miss any of these. Amy, what planet is known as the Red Planet?
Oh, my gosh. Welcome to my energetic mother. Just turn them red, red. Saturn has a ring on it.
What planet is known as the Red Planet?
Mars? Red? Red. Saturn or Mars? Your energetic mother just served us 9 pizzas.
I didn't ask for order.
It's making me think of the planets.
Okay.
Mars, Mercury. It's not Earth. It's not Pluto.
5 seconds.
Saturn. I think that's the ring planet. What is it? Mars?
What's your answer?
Mars!
The answer is Mars.
Wow. No idea how you got that.
Did you know the answer?
Smart.
No, I had no idea.
Lunchbox, what dinosaur had 3 horns on its head?
Ooh.
What dinosaur had 3 horns on its head? Easy trivia.
Well, 3 means try, so I'm going to go with the little book that I read my kid from baby dinosaurs, Triceratops.
Correct.
Oh, wow.
Woo!
Good job.
That's how you do that.
Good
I was going to say Trentosaurus.
Nice. Hey, Eddie, Come yours on. Is in dinosaur land, too.
Oh, great.
What dinosaur is thought to have the largest bite of them all?
Bite. Fun fact, until recently, I thought dinosaurs were fake.
What?
Yeah, I just thought scientist being crazy.
That's not that fun.
That's not a fun fact. That's a embarrassing fact.
But I'm going to go with T-Rex.
Correct.
Like a bite.
Correct. It gets a little harder now. We're getting to the middle ground here. Amy, botany is the study of what?
Plants.
Correct. Lunchbox, what's the boiling point of water in degrees Fahrenheit?
Oh, gosh.
Boom.
These are so hard.
what do we do? Fahrenheit is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just try this one. This number popped in my head first. 212.
Mm. 212 is correct.
Wow!
Really?
Yes!
Bam.
I must have heard that somewhere.
Well, I'm sure you had.
I think here on the show.
It's not a random number you just said.
We talked about it.
Eddie.
Come on.
What's the largest mammal in the world?
Okay. I feel like we've talked about this.
Oh.
I feel like it's like one of the riddle me thises or something. Okay.
Mammal in the world.
Elephants are pretty darn big. Whales are big. And whales are mammals. Rhinos are huge. And now the dinosaurs are real. I'm gonna go with elephant. Oh, it's a whale, isn't it?
The answer is a whale.
Oh, man.
You're out of the game.
That hurts.
I don't even know what a mammal is, Eddie, so good job.
Basically, it has hair.
Oh, okay. wait, right? Whales have hair?
Yeah.
Beluga.
Who knew?
Blue whale.
What is beluga?
I don't know, not the hair that they have.
Okay.
We sound so smart.
Amy, what sort of animal is the video game Sonic?
Hedgehog.
Only two people left. That's correct.
Oh.
Nice. Hey, Lunchbox, how many ounces? This is a special question that you should know. In a pint? Oh, I guess you drank a liter of lemon juice, huh? Not a pint.
Yeah, just
a liter.
Oh, shit. I'm getting
my head. You drink beers out of a pint.
My bad. I don't... How many ounces are in a pint?
A pint? There's 16 ounces in a pound.
Is that right?
I don't even know what a pint looks like. Oh! 40. Give me
nice.
A 40. Give me a 40. Like you're drinking a 40?
Yeah, like a Colt.
Amy, do you know how many ounces are in a pint?
Whoa!
Yeah, there's 16. Hit my song.
That's correct. Hit her song. She was calling her shot there, yeah. Nice job, Amy is the winner of Easy Trivia on a Friday.
That was a trick one.
That was a good guess, though, Lon.
No.
Yeah. Amy gets no, that wasn't a good guess. All right, there you go. Amy, congratulations. What would you like to say to all your people?
I would just like to say that it feels really good to win Easy Trivia. Well, who are my people?
Anybody.
Anybody?
The world. Anybody that was rooting for you.
Yeah. Thank you to anybody that was rooting for me.
There it is. You heard it from her first. Thank you.
So if you work all day, then you go home, and then from home, you got to go back to the gym. That's always a really hard thing to do. So experts explain now that humans are simply hardwired for laziness. When we go home after work, our bodies go, well, we just finished a big task. We shall now shut down for the day. And that's why it's hardest to go back and work out after that. They say you should just go and take your bag. And even though it isn't pleasant, just go straight from work to the gym if you're going to go to the gym. Our earliest ancestors needed to avoid too much physical activity, so they had enough strength for hunting and gathering. Complete laziness during periods of the day was needed to store up energy. So we're hardwired to go, okay, we just hunt and gather, to shut down time, and then not go back to hunt and gather until it's time to go back to work. Does that make sense, Amy?
Yeah, it makes sense. And I mean, I'm exhibit A. When I had a job, it was... When I did sales and I had an 8 to 5, I would have to go to the gym right when I got off work, or there's no way. On days where I went home and thought, oh, I'll just go home, put my stuff down, change, get a snack, then go, no way. I never ended up back at the gym.
So the encouragement is, as soon as your day is over, if you have something you got to do, go right to it. I'm a big believer too of if something is coming up and you dread it, but you know you're going to do it, and you know at some point it's going to suck. You're just going to just start it as soon as possible, because that sucky feeling is going to happen eventually anyway. So just get it over with. And then you have the rest of the day where it's over and you're not doing it. And you don't have to even look forward to not doing it. Anyway, That's it. We're done. Appreciate you guys. Be safe. Thanks for listening. Thanks for letting us be your friend. We'll see you on Monday. Bye, everybody. Body.